For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That was really the big news of the day. About 10:35 today, the news came out. JOK getting a 3-year, $39 million contract extension from the Cleveland Browns, worth $25 million guaranteed. All right, let's rip the Band-Aid off. What do we think about this deal?
I mean, money-wise, I said this to you before the show. It's so hard to compare. Like, I don't know what another outside linebacker is making that's, you know, a Pro Bowl caliber guy. But I know this much. This dude's really good in our defense, and I don't want to see him going anywhere for the next several years. And so I trust that the front office, because they're smart dudes, believe this is a fairly reasonable contract for the young man, and he's locked up for another 3 years.
Can we give each other permission to no longer care about what they pay guys? Can we do that?
Yeah, we can.
Because I know it matters. I know they're not going to re-sign literally everyone. But if you said, do you need to re-sign JOK? And should you do, within reason, everything you can to re-sign him? Yes, I think that's a no-brainer. Like, I think Miles, third contract, no-brainer. This might not be the same for everybody else. Third contract for Denzel. Yep, no-brainer. So every single no-brainer that we've asked them for, they've done. Like, I think some people thought Joe Flacco was a no-brainer to bring him back. I think they were very smart and calculated with the way that they deployed that decision. But, like, I'll be honest with you. This doesn't get old. The Browns have good enough players to re-sign.
Which is a great thing. You know, in the past, how many draft picks by the Browns ended up signing a second deal?
Or
it's hard to remember anybody.
Made it through the end of their first deal.
Right.
So it's funny, man. Like, immediately, and I don't want to say it like this, but the numbers nerds out there. And there are. Yeah. Some people are in the analytics space. Some people are in the contractual space. And not all of them are tedious. But the immediate thing of, it's a slight overpay or it's a slight underpay or I don't care. Jimmy Haslam has given me the freedom to not care. Because unlike Mike Brown's old wrinkly ass in Cincinnati,
he ain't worried about money.
I don't have to worry about, like, honestly, if Jamar Chase was a Cleveland Brown, he would have been paid a year ago. If T. Higgins was a Cleveland Brown, he would have been paid, you know, 3 months ago, 4 months ago.
Yep.
And, like, listen, I get that this might feel like small potatoes to Browns fans out there. Look at how cheap Cincinnati is. Like, Trey Hendrickson's probably in his last year in Cincinnati. He's been the best pass rusher they've had in a decade because he wants a new contract. They don't want to give him one. So he's probably gone after this year. T. Higgins, probably gone after this year after being tagged, and they're going to lose two of those guys for free. DJ Reader, well, he's been too injury-prone. Doesn't matter that when he's on the field, he's their best defensive lineman. DJ Reader's too expensive. Let's bring in Sheldon Rankins. Baltimore, notoriously cheap. Honestly, the reason why John Harbaugh has lasted as long as he has is back in the mid-teens when they wanted to fire him. Steve Bisciotti didn't want to pay two head coaches at the same time. Pittsburgh is notoriously frugal on which players they re-sign. Now, they're good at making sure that they don't lose guys for nothing. So that's the flip side. But, like, how do you, even if, okay, whether you think JOK is worth 3 years, 39, how do you not just feel like this is a massive victory every time Jimmy Haslam and company?
Pay somebody?
Yeah, it is.
Like, one of the guys you drafted who's, like, a good player?
Well, and I think this phrase is massively overused in the NFL. The phrase ascending player, and a lot of it is because ceiling is hypothetical. Like, here are the projectables, but in reality, every player's different, and you don't really know. JOK is an ascending player. Like, I think last year was a taste of what he's going to be in Jim Schwartz's wide nine defense. And before the show, we got in the nits and grits, and I was like, I don't know anybody I see in the gap like splitting that right down the middle as quick as JOK. And this defense is so much about that first step and that burst. And it's why Miles is so damn good in it. It's why I think if Mike Hall can ever avoid legal problems or whatever he's going through, I think he'll be great in it if he can stay out of trouble. And it's why I think we're just seeing the beginning of JOK, dude. Like, last year was awesome. That was the best we've seen of JOK. As long as Jim Schwartz is here, man, I think there's a whole nother level to this. But getting back to the Haslam thing, because we'll talk to the JOK thing in a minute, I don't think we should gloss over it. Like, yeah, haven't had back-to-back winning seasons yet, haven't had back-to-back playoff appearances, but this is just another sign at the leaps and bounds this organization has made. And I'll be honest with you, I think average Browns fans are just starting to accept that. And I think some of it's been delayed by some of the riskier decisions they've made, the Deshaun trade, Perrion Winfrey, now Mike Hall Jr. Like, I do think those things maybe push back people's feelings on the Haslams. Mm-hmm. Guys, the last 4 years, they're pushing for a new stadium, which will be the mecca of Cleveland sports, and not just it's sports and entertainment. And they're finally putting a product out there that is what we'd hoped for 20 years from the time they came back that they could put out there.
Yeah.
And, man, I got to tell you, I think this is a brilliant deal. I think JOK is only going to get better because he is super young.
Mm-hmm.
I think this keeps this continues to keep the defense intact. And now I think you can legitimately say at every level of the field, you have at least one game changer. Miles on the defensive line is a top five player in the NFL.
Oh yeah.
JOK at the linebacker spot, and those accolades are not too far behind. And Denzel, who I don't know that everybody in Cleveland feels this way, but outside of Cleveland, everybody looks at that guy and saying he's one of the three best corners in the NFL.
Absolutely. I am so excited about the JOK deal because he was drafted because of Lamar Jackson, I think. Like, you have to have somebody who can play, can hang, frankly, and can run sideline to sideline with a talent like a Lamar Jackson. And I think the Browns are really smart. They're getting faster on defense. They're drafting players that sort of fit the division. And, like, it's an arms race in the AFC North.
I got to see him when he was at Notre Dame in that matchup, oh my God, it had to have been, maybe it was COVID year, but where DJ Uiagalelei made his debut for Clemson in that game. And it will go down. It, like, Notre Dame was in that game because of JOK. And we had seen pieces of that, but we hadn't seen a full season of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I'm going to go back. I don't give a damn they pay him $13 million a year. I think, because you said earlier, I don't know what those numbers mean. It's at the top of the market for a linebacker. But I don't think he's just a linebacker. I think that's the spot that he plays in the way we think about defense. I think he is a linchpin of their defense in that second wave of players that if he's not there, it is impossible to calculate his true value if you just call him a quote-unquote linebacker. This is a genuine question because I saw the money and I just didn't. I don't think about that stuff anymore. Like, one, I assume that this is fair market value because the Browns do not seem to truly overpay for players except for, like, maybe the most important position. You know, but that's only an overpay because he hasn't been healthy and has played but 11 games. If Deshaun Watson had played 15 games a year, 17 games a year the last 2 years, none of us would give a damn about his contract. That's kind of the way I feel about this. Like, and the thing is, I know that there's a contract out there that's going to piss me off when they don't pay it. Like, if they decide they don't want to pay a guard, Wyatt Teller, $20 million a year, and that leads to him not being in the Browns, I'm not going to be happy about it. I think that's where we should be. If they start walking away from good players because they're not paying them, that's when I think you have the right. Because all I see when I see the JOK thing is that whether it's top of the market, middle of the market, whatever, And by the way, I saw the number and I was like, oh, that's it? Like, because again, the value thing, as you pointed out, is wildly skewed anymore.
I'm just trying to think of like a good example of somebody that the Browns have drafted that could turn out to... Okay, let's say Cedric Tillman has a great year this year.
Yeah.
And a great year next year. I mean, that guy is... I think he may be a three-year contract.
Third-round pick, so maybe. I think you have 3 years plus the reserved year, and then...
So, yeah, I mean, like, that's some... Again, he's got a long way to go, but it's an example. You want to see your guys resign.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially JOK. Can I just tell you? So, when I was younger, I don't know if anybody... When I was younger, I really just cared if you were a good player or not. Like... I remember like Marquise Grissom wasn't as good as Kenny Lofton was the year before when he came here in 97. I was not mad to see Marquise Grissom go the next year. That also meant Kenny Lofton came back. But now I've gotten older. I remember Marquise Grissom just being a super dude, and I kind of wish I had liked him more, like Jonkensi Noel. Like, dude, I think 32 games into his career, I think he might be one of my three favorite players. And so JOK, I say that to say... It's not just about what value bring on the field. I just think JOK is cool as hell, man. I think what he does with his heritage on, you know, wearing different African regalia to like his pregame outfit, I think is incredibly cool. I think he's super open about that and about his passion for, you know, the culture that his family came from and I just think that's cool, man. Like, I think that stuff matters so much more to me now as a sports fan, as somebody in the media, to watch that. Dude, even his mustache is cool. You know I'm out on mustaches, man. I cannot stand mustaches.
I feel like they're back, though.
He's got a Celek mustache. Like, a lot of people want to shoot for Celek, Kyle Manzardo, and fail. He's pulling a mustache off.
Man, there's someone I saw the other day that had an awesome mustache. I can't remember his name. I think it was on somebody the Guardians were playing.
Yeah.
That's who it was. It was a dude for the Cubs.
Okay, now I'm trying to think who it was. Because I initially thought
skinny white dude. Had a good mustache.
You just described half of baseball.
All right, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean...
But not the mustache.
Really good mustache, though. I mean, so I was thinking that might stand out to you.
I don't know why it's not coming up in my head. I was thinking of Andrew Chafin, although that's not necessarily just a mustache. That's a whole beard. That's a whole ass beard right there.
We'll find out.
All right. He's going to get to the bottom of that. I also thought it was good to hear, because JOK didn't just talk about his contract today, and we're gonna talk to Ben Lieber in about 15 minutes about the Browns-Vikings joint practices, the impact of the J.J. McCarthy injury. We're also going to get his thoughts on JOK, as Ben used to play a linebacker in the NFL. But we're also going to hear Kevin Stefanski's press conference. You're going to hear some of that thought, his thought on JOK. Another thing that I really liked today, and this is, I kind of held this from the first segment, was JOK talking about why this Jim Schwartz wide nine.
Patrick Wisdom.
That's a great name too, by the way. That's a strong mustache. Right. That's not a perf stash. I give him credit. That's a good stash. Jack's second opinion. Is that a good?
That's a very solid.
That's
stash.
A solid. It's not JOK good. It's fine. It's not JOK good. Like that is a.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's a 40-year-old cop who's been on the beat for 22 years who is too old for this bleep.
It was so funny. And when I saw – he had that double that helped them tie it up there in the eighth the other night. I'm like, who is this guy looking like he's 45 years old just playing baseball? Like, that's how dudes looked in the 70s.
Yeah. And honestly, I think baseball should – again, the mustache, very hit or miss. More cheeky facial hair in baseball. We've already fixed the game when it comes to the rules, the rule of play, all that. Give me more goofy facial hair. Give me more Chafins. Give me more Rod Becks. Give me more Patrick Wisdoms.
Man, more Thurman Munsons.
May he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Canton's own. Yeah, man. I like these mustaches in baseball. They're making a comeback.
This is like the most passionate you've been about baseball.
Oh, you got my attention.
It's because it's rare.
It's rare.
All right, now we're going to lose it. We're going to play JOK talking about why this wide nine scheme fits him so well.
Anytime, you know, you have a different scheme, right? It's all about progression. It's all about learning the scheme. But it's also about the relationships that you build with the coach, the relationship that you build with your teammates. So the scheme, I think, that allows me to be myself, per se, right? And it allows me to really tap into the personnel that I believe that I fit into, which is being very diverse, whether it's blitzing off the edge, staying in the middle, being in pass coverage, pass rush, whatever it may be. So I feel like it's a diverse defense and works well with the different personnel.
I've already kind of tipped my hand on this. Do you think year two, JOK, in this wide nine defense, do you think there's still room for him to grow?
Of course. I think players can evolve and adapt. I haven't seen him yet this year. I mean, like, in person, I'm saying, like, guys can get bigger, stronger, faster. They can get skinnier. Like, I think his, you know, Jim Schwartz sort of unleashes what they want to do defensively. Yeah, I think there's definitely room for him to improve, and certainly his role can change.
Yeah, so it's funny you say that, because I think one of the most botched roles in all of football from defensive coordinators are linebacker-safety hybrids. And I saw it, in Carolina with Jeremy Chinn. I think you can say this about JOK from his rookie year up until last year.
Mm-hmm.
NFL defensive coordinator, it's the most misutilized position in all of football. There are so many good athletes who are big safeties who should not really be put that much in coverage deep down the field, but defensive coordinators treat them as like fix-alls. Oh, hey, I've got a bad safety room. Well, now you're a free safety. Oh, hey, I don't have a middle linebacker. Now you're a middle linebacker. Or, hey, I need you off the edge. And in reality, if you try and pigeonhole any one of those, especially a guy like JOK or a guy like Jeremy Chinn, who's on his second team now after being like third in the rookie of the year 4 years ago, like, I think NFL defensive coordinators ruin this kind of player. So to see Jim Schwartz in 1 year completely, I mean, give us the best version, the most complete version of JOK, is awe-inspiring. I it's so funny, man. We ascribe so much credit to these football men, and I get it because they deserve it. If you work for 40 years in football and you know hypothetical football, if you know game theory in football, you're smarter than me when it comes to football. I totally get that. Doesn't mean you're more pragmatic than me. And so to see JOK used in a very pragmatic way, and we talked about shooting the gap. I've seen DeQuell Jackson, who was
one of the best,
maybe the best linebacker I've seen in Cleveland of this last 25 years.
Yeah, I agree with that.
We saw DeMario Davis on the ascent. We saw Andre Davis, a lot of Davises. We saw Joe Schobert. We've seen, really, ironically, we haven't seen a lot of good quarterback play. We've actually had a lot of really good linebackers since Jameer Miller. Different.
Now you're going way back.
He's
now
more of an edge, but Wally Rainier. Like, we've seen really good line. I don't know I've ever seen anybody shoot the gaps like JOK. No, I mean
the guy's a 4.4 sub 4.4 40-yard dash guy. I mean, he can roll.
And so, like, it's funny, you know, Stefanski and everybody's kind of talked about, well, what wrinkles can you bring to this defense? Now everybody saw this defense for 17 games. All right, well, how do you tweak it? How do you make it better? And I think at the heart of this is, how do you make it more consistent? I don't know you can get any more dominance out of Myles Garrett. The dude is Thanos. He's not big Thanos. That's a different guy. But he is, like, Myles Garrett is inevitable. I think JOK is one of those guys that year two in a defense, as he gets more comfortable, and maybe you get even more clued into what he does best in this defense, I think that's the kind of guy that can take this defense and help you find a more consistent approach. Or not approach, a more consistent output on defense.
I mean, you have guys at every defense that could be all pro. Not just Pro Bowl, but like all pro.
Well, and here's the thing. And you still have a guy like MJ Emerson. You still have a guy like Grant Delpit, who's just scratching the surface. You've got a couple of young guys. I hate to keep bringing this name up because his name's in the news for the worst reason possible, but Mike Hall Jr. There's a bunch of young guys that could be this year's version of JOK. But JOK could also be this year's version of JOK. 216-474-0092. Do you guys expect JOK to take another leap forward? I think we overutilize the phrase ascending player way too much in football. Not ascension is not linear, is my way to put this. I would not be surprised if JOK took another step. Browns, Vikings, joint practices going on in Cleveland, and to talk about the joint practices, to talk about how this rolls up. The J.J. McCarthy news today, unfortunately, he'll be out this season with a knee injury. We welcome on one of our favorite guests, and I do say that about every guest, but I mean it this time. All right, I also say that every time. But Ben Lieber now joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know him as a Viking sideline reporter and on KFAN in Minnesota. Ben, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me on, you guys. Listen, Nick, I think that you really, really mean it, just really for me. I mean, I can really feel it in your voice this time.
Thank you. See, that's all. I'm so glad you can detect my false sincerity.
Yeah. I'm even gonna leave this phone call and be like, I'm just be like on cloud nine because I just totally believe everything that you're saying.
Well, yep. Ben, you know I love you, buddy. We go back.
Yeah, Dustin, you at least you and I have history, and I know that there's real sincerity in there.
Absolutely.
You know, I think that Nick's trying to be, you know, sincere. I can hear the sarcasm, but I'm gonna choose to believe it.
Way to jam me up there, Dustin. Wow.
Ben's not wrong.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying, like, watch Band of Brothers sometime, okay? Like, yeah, you know, look me up after that.
Yeah.
So when we look at the J.J. McCarthy news.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one. Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
How are people in Minnesota taking it today?
It's been mixed. I mean, there's a lot of people. The thing is, like, the Minnesota sports fan is they're always waiting for the other shoe to drop, so they look at this as just like another catastrophe in the sports world around here. Like, oh, why can't we have good things? Why can't we have nice things? And oh, geez. And it's like, poor is me. You know, a lot of fans want to play the victim card all the time. And that's just, I don't feel like that's the case here. I mean, look, yes, we haven't had a championship since the Twins in 91 for any sort of men's team. Look, our women's basketball team, they're phenomenal. They win championships all the time. But for the core sports around here, we are insufferable. And, you know, we look at this as like another lost opportunity, but it's not that. I mean, I think the real fans that really pay attention know that this was not going to be McCarthy's season anyway. You know, there's always the hope that he could have a CJ Stroud type of year. And all of a sudden this quote unquote rebuilding year, competitive rebuild is going to be more than that because we have a talented roster. I think everybody knew that Sam was going to take the starting reps for the first probably chunk, you know, first half of the season. And then, you know, if he was struggling, then you might start hearing some clamoring to get JJ in there. But at that point in time, you're probably not going to salvage a season and make a Super Bowl run anyway. So I think there's the feeling of hope seems to be deflated, but I don't feel like that. I think that he's still going to get a lot of mental reps because that's really what's going to happen after the next 2 weeks. When he misses out on the preseason reps, Dustin, as you know, it's still important to get all these mental reps, and that's what he was going to be doing anyways.
All right, so obviously McCarthy's out for the season, and Sam Darnold, who's, you know, he's had his moments in the league, probably more bad than good, but he's had good moments. You know, so like, what are the expectations? You said it's kind of mixed with the fans there. I mean, could the Vikings compete for a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they can compete for a playoff spot. I mean, I know it's a really small sample size. It's just, what, the one drive that he had last week. But, you know, it was still positive in the fact that he looked like he's in command. He looks like a starting quarterback. And I think that's the most important thing. And, look, that's the same barometer that we use for JJ. I mean, a lot of it was just body language and in how he looked versus maybe some of the physical things. And I think that Sam Darnold looked like a starting quarterback. He had command of the huddle. You could tell that the guys were paying attention to him. He has leadership abilities. He made a couple really, really strong throws that seemed effortless. You know, he just has a small sample size, and we don't really know. But if you listen to all of the sort of quarterbacks, whether they're coming out of the draft or a lot of the pros right now talk about KOC in this offense, a lot of people are envious of being – being educated and schooled by KOC, and they all want to be in a system like his, and they all want to be with him. So I think Sam's, for the first time in his career, in a spot that's going to be the most quarterback friendly. He's got a stud of a teacher, and he's got a lot of weapons around him, especially when Hawkinson gets back healthy. I think as long as he doesn't make some risky gunslinger type of throws that Nick Mullins made last year at the end of the season, we're going to have a really highly successful offense.
Ben Lieber on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Not to go too back far in history there, are we sure the Vikings made the right decision by not giving Kirk Cousins everything he wants to stay there and finish his career in Minnesota?
You know, I'm not so sure that Kirk wanted to stay here. I think there was a lot of verbal jockeying and a lot of verbal compliments about both sides, making it seem like they all wanted this reunion of sorts, and to come back together and him finish his career. You know, contractually, you know, it makes sense for him to talk good about the team that he's with, because it gives him some leverage from a business standpoint. And the same thing for the Vikings. I mean, the Vikings are in a situation where they didn't want to necessarily tip their hand the whole time that they're going to be looking at a rookie quarterback, and they're going to be going higher in the draft if they could, and all this other stuff. So I think there was some competitive jockeyness that they're using each other, leveraging each other against each other. And I think ultimately the Vikings wanted to get younger. They wanted to get cheaper. They didn't want to have to always pick off the scrap heap when it comes to finding the quarterback. And Kirk, you know, wanted to leverage the Vikings for the best deal possible. And I think they both parties got what they wanted, I think, in the end.
Ben, I forget, man. When we were in Minnesota, didn't we practice against the Chiefs? Or who would we?
I can't remember. Yeah. You know, the fight fest that we would have?
Yeah, dude. I mean, but again, those practices were like way more brutal than these fools got to deal with now. But yeah, I mean, I thought they were some of the most intense practices, almost more intense than the exhibition games, the preseason games. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I really did. And I, you know, kind of like you, I mean, they've been doing it for years before we even got on the team. And so we kind of came into it, and you know, it was basically told to us, hey, there's going to be fights. You know, we were all warned from both sides, like, okay, you know, we're not going to fight. We're not going to play nice. We're going to play competitive. But, you know, they would like kind of wag their finger at us and say, don't be fighting. But we all knew it was like an easy way to kind of get practice cut down. You know, you start getting chippy and you pick a fight in 9-on-7. It actually happened 1 year. I remember 1 year when I was here, and I don't know if you were still on the team or not, but we had a fight in 9-on-7, which, you know, that's in the first third of practice. Mm-hmm. That drill got cut short. Then there was some pushing and shoving in the first team period. And they're like, no, we're just done. We're done. You know, I think practice got cut short like 40 minutes because it just guys are fighting. And we as players use it as a tool to get out of practice. And so I don't even know how sincere the fights were. It's just like, hey man, You throw a little punch, and I'll throw a little punch, and then we'll kind of scuffle, and the team will start shouting and pushing, and you know, we'll make this thing seem bigger than it is just so we can get out of practice.
Ben, given the way that coaches are using these joint practices now and the evolution of the preseason, the evolution of joint practices, is it fair to say that the joint practices are becoming more important than the actual preseason games themselves?
Yes, I think so. You know, I know there can be some pretty competitive practices. You know, I even heard from the Raiders that we played last week. They actually had a couple practices, at least one, I know for sure, that it was full speed to the ground. I mean, they did a full-on scrimmage. And I think that was much more regular back in the day. But now with all the rules and stuff, I don't think you can do that as often. But, you know, when it comes to these controlled practices that these teams have together, you're getting – basically the same thing, except taking guys to the ground. And yeah, you lose a little bit of that. I mean, you can get, you know, obviously you get more of that in a preseason game, but we know that's, it's all about some of these individual drills. I mean, you're going against pass rushing, you know, one-on-ones that are really important to get basically live. You know, the blocking up front is basically live. The one-on-ones on the outside, I mean, Dustin, I mean, my goodness, some of those joint practices, I mean, probably more intense in a one-on-one basis as a corner and secondary guys with these
than maybe
the game, you know?
It's just, yeah, because you're grabbing at each other and pushing each other and getting in the face mask, And it's not like the officials are throwing flags like they do in the games. I mean, this is basically just an all-out, like, hand-to-hand combat, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might have officials out there warning you, but
sure,
you're not costing the team anything, you know?
Exactly.
So, to your point, I mean, both sides. I mean, you're jawing at each other. You probably have a little bit more juice. You know that, all right, I'm going to get one rep in this one-on-one. I better make it good, and then we're going to rotate out. So you might get, you know, four or five reps in a one-on-one that's super high intensity versus in a game-like situation. You've got to play against the run. You got to play against the pass. You're playing a series. You maybe don't have the juice every single rep as you would in some of these joint practices.
We talked about this the other day. I think the NFC North looks sneaky tough this year. How do you see the four NFC North teams stacking up in your eyes?
Well, I think everybody's got to give the Lions their respect, which I am too. Love the way they're built. Love the way they're constructed. Goff is just playing out of his mind and looks so comfortable. And then really, for me, it's a toss-up. I don't see why the Vikings couldn't be number two in this division. I don't honestly see why the Bears, if Caleb is as good as they say he is with a ton of weapons on offense and a defense that they think is going to be much faster and much more aggressive, why can't they make a push if he's the real deal? And then you've always got the steady Packers always there reloading that quarterback, and those guys are getting younger too. So it really is a toss-up for that number two spot. I'm not going to crown Detroit right now. I mean, they haven't handled long-term success in a long time. So it'll be interesting to see how they react when they truly have the target on their back. And we've seen time and time again where teams, they rest on their laurels. They maybe don't work as hard. You know, I heard a great quote in that Netflix show Sprint. You know, one of the coaches was saying, you got to prepare like a contender. And, you know, I don't know. Are they going to prepare like a contender this year, knowing that, you know, they won the division, they checked off one of their goals? Are they going to be as hungry this year?
Ben, switching to baseball for a second, we got a dogfight between the Guardians and Twins for the AL Central here. Do Twins fans hate the Guardians and Guardians fans? Are you guys burning with a passion to get this division this year?
You know, it's so interesting. No, I don't feel that anger and that hate towards the Guardians. We all know that you guys are the team to gun for here. But I think everybody here is just, like, really happy, just like, surprisingly happy with the team that we have, because we say time and time again, this organization, this ownership will not invest into big money players. They constantly just go into every year trying to trim payroll. And it, on paper, doesn't look like they're going to be competitive. And then they come out and surprise us, and they're like, hey, these young guys are actually pretty competitive. Hey, this guy that they brought up in the farm system is actually legit. And so they kind of surprise us every year. And that's the same thing this year. Our bats are coming around. The pitching's been steady. So it is going to be a little bit of a dogfight. But, you know, the name of the game is consistency and being injury-free.
I got to say, we watched Bailey Ober pitch a couple weekends ago. I'm just here to tell you, that guy's not overrated.
You just couldn't wait to use that line, did you?
I wish you could ask my board op.
It became kind of a segment.
It was a bleep-eating grin on my face right now, just waiting to say overrated.
Oh, man, that's like the hand of the face emoji, you know?
Yep. Well, this is a lot of fun, buddy. Great stuff. No, seriously, I was a little facetious earlier. You are one of our favorite guests. Always great to catch up with you, man. Glad to see you continuing to thrive, bud.
Yeah, no, thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure to be on. And I wish I was out there for the joint practices. Unfortunately, I have to work this little afternoon TV gig here in town. But, you know, Stefanski, as you guys know, one of my favorite guys, one of my favorite people that I've ever been around, and I love what you guys are building there. You know, it's old school football, man. I wish I could see it.
He's certainly not overrated. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. All right, be good, buddy.
I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
That's okay. Fair. That's on me. That's on me, dog. We'll do better. Ben Lieber there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again. With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.